week before Shia. So the primary pasuk of Tefillah is Avram's Tefillah, Avram Tikin Tefillah Shacharis. The Gemara says in Brachos, Tefillos Kineged Avos Tiknum. And the pasuk that describes Avram's Tefillah is a very interesting pasuk, because you think, if I just told you to guess, you say it's probably his Tefillah before he has a Bris Milah. It's a good time to daven. Obviously the Tefillah during the Akedah, we'll talk about that Tefillah, the Tefillah for Stone. There are a lot of moments where Avram should be davening, and he does daven, and he davens for Avimelech. But of all the psukim to highlight Avram's institutionalizing Tefillah, it's the pasuk of Avram davening the day after Stone. Not before the apocalypse, but the day after the apocalypse. Keep that in mind. Why would the Torah be highlighting that tefillah? You think the tefillah Avram sitting there davening for people's lives, to save them, to protect them. There's so many needy tefillos in the Parshas Vayera. Here there's no need. Everything's done already. He's watching the smoke. He's watching the smoke incinerate over Stone. What's he davening for? So we'll answer that question a little bit later. But to answer that question, let's read a Gemara. I'll just paraphrase the Gemara. And let's trace it all the way back, and then we'll get back to the question. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. This is the pasuk. El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham Espenei Hashem. What word in this pasuk describes Avraham's tefillah? Amad. That's also interesting. Why that word? This is the first real tefillah. The first real tefillah in the Torah is described in a strange word. So many words for tefillah, vayispalel, vayomer, vayidaber. That's the second question. Why is the first tefillah, Avram's tefillah, described in a very strange word? So to answer those two questions, why the Torah chronicles this tefillah, and why the Torah uses a strange word, let's read a Gemara, raise a third question, and we'll try to get a better sense. The Gemara Brachos says that if a person has a makom kavua, he davens in the same place every day, then when he dies, there must be him, oh, he was a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. When we now launch a kava Avraham makom l'tfilah, so how do we know that Avraham makom kavua is pasuk? Vayashkim Avraham baboker, el hamakom asher amad sham es p'nei Hashem. Run back to the same place. Why is makom kavua so important? And why, of all the people, is Avraham Avinu being spotlighted as Mr. Makom Kavua? Well, I'm sure Yitzchak had a Makom Kavua also. So all of a sudden, we've got all these interesting questions swirling. Why is this the tefillah the Torah highlights? Why does the Torah use the word Amad? Why is Makom Kavua important? So to answer all those questions, let me tell you what I always tell people, and why I tell it to them, based on the Gemara, and then we'll circle back to Avraham Avinu. So we've got a lot to talk about, just put them all together. You're a big lamdanim, you can put a lot of variables together. Rebbe, how should I improve my davening? Which sefer should I buy? Can you give me extra kavanos? Can you give me a 14th way to think about Hashem Echad? More gematrios? No. Stop. You want to improve your tefillah? Start at the bottom. Tefillah is standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is standing in front of a Ribbono Shel Olam. It's space, not words. It's interaction, not necessarily action. It's an encounter. Spend as much time as you can during davening. Here's my practical advice. Time tested. This has worked for 20 years. If you do it, you'll be better at davening, and then you'll build on top. Forget Kavana. Kavana is very overrated as far as I'm concerned. You can't use Kavana and Tefillah as the barometer of successful Tefillah, because if you will, you'll fall on your face. Spend as much time in davening as you can, thinking of the fact that you're standing in front of the Kisei HaKavod HaMelech Malchei Lachem. Don't let your mind run to sports, to friends, to food, to news, to internet. Just say, I'm standing. What am I talking about? I don't know. I don't know what the words mean. I'm not there yet. I'm just standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because most of the time, you lose that sense. And you're talking to yourself, or you're talking to the wall. If you really want to build tefillah from the bottom up, try to have the mental tenacity for as long as you can to say, I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm in front of the Melech Melechim. This, by the way, is, if you, for those who say, well, I don't like Rabbi Tarragon's pre-Shir Tefillah conversations, they're not lumdus enough. I'm a brisker. I only want brisk, right? Jay? I'm going to take a look at the first Reb Chaim on the Ramban. Even though Mitzvah Sein Tzrichas Kavana, Tefillah needs Kavana. And what Kavana does Reb Chaim say you need? Amidah L'fnei Hashem. You don't have to have Kavana for the words, but in order for Tefillah, if you don't have Kavana, it's you're sitting in front of us, standing in front of the Baruch, you're not being spot. It's not even Tefillah. Start there. Start with space. Start with proximity. It's spatial. It's not verbal. How do I know this? Because the Gemara in Bracha says in Chav Ches that when the Talmidim came in to say goodbye to Reb Elazar, their great Rebbe, Reb Elazar ben Hyrcanus, he's about to die. Great tragedy. Reb Elazar ben Hyrcanus was put into Cherem based on the Tana Shel Achnai. It's so much Torah he wanted to teach and just never had a chance to teach it. So the Talmidim came in and said, Rebbe, you're dying now. The Cherem was lifted. The Nidor was lifted. To give us some Torah. So he said a couple of interesting things. You can look at the Gemara Chav Ches Amud Beis. One, he had some interesting things about Tanakh. He said, don't go to Herzog. But not some interesting things. Min ubanechem min higayon. But one of the things he said was, and we all know it, but if you just slow down the words, a lot of time in life you've got to slow down the words. He told us, Talmidim, uchashatem mispalalim. You know what's the end of it? What are you telling? Uchashatem mispalalim. De'u lifnei miyad amamdim. He didn't say, get the next Perush Hamila, get the next art scroll, Perush on what the Gedolim thought about, and the Gematrios, and the Kabbalah. Just said, De'u lifnei miyad amamdim. Just work on the foundation. If the foundation is flimsy, the tower will fall. Always work on basics. So one of the great dangers of Avodas Hashem is when people try to skip steps. And when you skip steps, you're building in a fourth story before you build in the first story, right? Oh, let's, Rabbi Tarragon, why aren't you giving us four steers in the Rambam and 15 ways to solve the steers? Let's just start slow. Okay, I'll teach you how to dribble, teach you how to make a C play, a post play. I hear the basics. Once you know the basics, then we can start making fancy plays. How to read a Rashba, how to read a Tosos, how to understand a Gemara. Then you'll get the steers in the Rambam. The greatest mistakes in Avodas Hashem is when people skip steps. So don't skip steps in davening. Work as hard as you can. It's really hard because your mind really wanders. Our minds are trained to be wandering minds. It wasn't always like that. Minds used to be really focused. Our minds are wandering minds, for better or for worse. Our minds move really quickly. They're radiant. They're not focused. Try to just say, I'm standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, why is it so hard in today's world? Well, let me go take it from a different angle. That's why Avraham's tefillah is described as Amar. It's described in a nonverbal fashion. Was Avram saying something that day? Yeah, of course he was. But the Torah isn't interested in recording that. It doesn't say that he's speaking. The verb used to describe Avram's tefillah is Amar, is standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why this tefillah is showcased. Because what did Avram say that day? I'm saying something. Nothing. He had nothing to say that day. The day before, the content was important. The Akedah, the content was... I'm sure Avram said something that day. But more or less, that day, what Avram had to say wasn't that important because everything was done. Stone was incinerated. No one was sick. No one needed help. So Avram's tefillah that day wasn't really content-oriented. It was Amidah-oriented. That's why the Torah chooses this tefillah as the first tefillah to highlight and articulates the tefillah with the word Amidah. It's choosing a tefillah that has, quote-unquote, no discernible purpose, and it's describing the tefillah, not purpose-oriented, but simply standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elamako Meshur Ahmad Sham. That's why this is the first Torah, because this is the building blocks of tefillah. That's why the Torah describes it with Amidah. Now, why is it so hard for you, and for me? And how can you rectify that this year and in your future? Okay, so let me tell you a story I remember vividly when I was maybe 13. I used to visit my Zaidi Erev Yom Kippur in Baltimore. Unfortunately, my Zaidi, I couldn't really spend so much time with him. Remember, I keep telling you that I'm a second-generation Holocaust victim. Now, I don't want to use the word victim inappropriately. What does that mean? I'm a victim. I was born in the mid-60s, but I didn't really have large extended families. My Seder was four people on the Seder because my grandparents' families, both sides were, not both sides, but, and my step-grandmother, I never met my grandmother. She passed early before I was born. My step-grandmother was a survivor of Kristallnacht. She literally lived through Kristallnacht, and was right around now. She would tell me stories, and she couldn't be around children. She had just seen too many harrowing images of children being dragged through the streets. I never spent two, three nights in the same house as my grandfather, because I just couldn't. I would come and say hello, and I would leave, because there was just These were damaged people. These were really severely traumatized people. So I remember, so I visit my Zaidi, who I was actually listening to a tape of his last night, describing him learning with the Bochanan and the Chafetz Chaim in Europe. He was just, the family taped him. So I just came across the tape saying, yeah, after World War I, the yeshiva moved to Riga and they split the yeshiva and the Chafetz Chaim went here. And so I was listening to him tell me the stories. So I remember visiting him. We always go Erev Yom Kippur. We go see him. They get a bracha. So I remember walking into his shul, Erev Yom Kippur in Baltimore. It was an old German shul called Sherith Israel, an old Yekke shul. And I remember that literally pews, like wooden pews. I always would run my hand over the pews and get splinters. And I would sit with my Zaidi in his seat. And like every year, I would see the same people in that little section of the shul, the same old people standing around him. And as an adult, I look back at that, and what's so striking about that is my Zaidi probably davened next to the same people, day in, day out, minyan in, minyan out, in the same location his whole life. That's called a makom kavua. When you have a makom kavua, encounter is really easy, because that's your space and those are your people, and you just walk in there and you stand in front of Hashem. If you want to capture space, tefillah of space, and encounter, you need consistency. Consistency of location, consistency of people. That's your framework. The little part that I have of that is when I come into shul, let's say on Yom Kippur, that's the location more or less I've been standing in for 30 years. And my mind is flooded with images of Rav Amital, Zichrono Livracha, and the people who are Baruch Hashem still alive. So it's very, very easy for me to lock into Yom Kippur because it's my Yom Kippur space. It's my Yom Kippur kittel. I've done this before. It's like putting your foot into a slipper. It just slides right in. Part of the reason that you have such an issue, I mean you, everyone in this class, your generation, and to a degree my generation, is we don't have permanent space. We're very peripatetic. Not just in davening, in life. 150 years ago, you probably lived in the same house as your grandparents. Three generations lived in the same house. What was your house? It was a thatched mattress and a room here for this generation, a room here for that. 100 years ago, you lived on the same block as your grandparents, or 180 years ago, you lived in the same city. We spoke about the Trentonians before. Because of communication, because of technology, we have told ourselves the following story, which has benefits and disadvantages. Yeah, we can move, we can travel, we can go wherever we want because we'll still be connected. I'm not sure if it's true, but ask yourself, how many of you, again, outside of Trentonians, how many of you live in the same city as your grandparents? Probably very few. And how would your life be different if three generations lived together? You were just telling me about your experience in West Orange. So it's not just a tefillah issue, it's a space issue. Think about the space. Think about growing up in the same location that you're the fourth generation. What does that mean? With its challenges, but certainly with its benefits. But certainly in tefillah. Now the problem today is it's very acute in tefillah. To be a minyan goer today, you have to be nothing short of an acrobat. Because of the challenges of the schedule, you have to catch the early minyan here before traffic begins, or what a lot of people are doing today, because traffic is everywhere. Oh, we have the worst traffic in the world. No, everyone has the worst traffic in the world. So people are doing is they're just traveling to their place of work at 5 in the morning. Like my wife, we get up much, much earlier because my wife takes 3 hours to get through, literally, take her 2 hours to get through shlubs. So we just get up to beat the traffic. She doesn't have to dine with a minyan. But a lot of your parents, or a lot of the people you know, a lot of your teachers, have to travel in. What they're ending up doing is they're traveling to their place of work and catching a local minyan, trying to beat the traffic. So you can't daven in your shul in the morning. And then mincha, obviously, you're not around, especially during the winter, even during the summer. So you're catching a mincha minyan in some office if you're acrobating. And then at night, you're catching a minyan, the late minyan, whatever. So you just don't have a makom kavua. So right before you start, you're handicapped. You're davening in so many different locations. And that ability to just lock in and stand in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu with your people in your place in your makom is completely hamstrung. Just out of interest, I say this all the times when I visit high schools. I don't know, I don't daven in all your high schools. Did you have a makom kavua in high school?
Yes.
Which is great. Those of you that had it was great. Those of you that didn't, may go back to high school and do it again. Now, what are the takeaways from this? Takeaway number one is obviously, please, work very hard just this week, Parshas Vayera. work hard when you daven, not to lose trace of the fact that you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Forget Kavan, I promise you, it sounds apikorsis, it sounds heretical, it works. The more you think about the word Echad, the less you think about Hashem, ironically. When you get to that level, that you really feel Hashem's presence, then on top of that level, another pshat for Echad, another pshat for Echad, another pshat for Echad. But you're so busy calculating what does 8 represent and what is Dalet that you may not be thinking about the standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kama Malchus Shemayim. Break it down. Make it simple. Make it baseline. And then on top of the baseline, once you excel, move to the next level. Second of all. Okay. Third is the biggie. Second is the easy part. One of my most painful moments in an interview. When I interview a boy and I say, tell me where you daven on Shabbos. You know 85% of the answers. Well, Kabbalah Shabbos, we daven here. Shacharis, we daven there. Mincha, we daven there. Shal Shuris, we eat here. Maariv, we daven there. Okay, so I'm obviously exaggerating it. Shabbos is your one day. It's your one day to just condense it all and be with one group of people for 4 tefillos straight through and just to have a taste of what your grandfather or great-grandfather felt every single day of his life. Walking in with the same people, same location. Now, if you're going to make a minyan for people, obviously. I don't even have that. I'm a hypocrite because I don't do that because my responsibilities are to you and the Seder HaTfilos in the afternoon don't meet my family's schedule. So I have to daven mincha somewhere else. So daven kabbal Shabbos and Maariv here, Shachar's here, but mincha Maariv somewhere else. But unless you're a Rebbe and a Yeshiva, or you've got some real extenuating circumstances, again, you're making a minyan in an old age home, those are obvious, right? I remember a couple of years ago, I was interviewing a boy for Yeshiva. I'm like, okay, yes, maybe yes. And he says, where do you daven Shabbos? I walk a mile every Shabbos to a geriatric center with my father. We make minyanim. I said, you're in. There are some things that are so much more important than how well you read a Gemara. Obviously, whatever your all your sacrifice you're showing to make minyanim for people, that means you have a space in Yeshiva. Space in Yeshiva is not how well you read a Gemara. It's who you are as a person. One day you'll be a balabas. One day you'll be directing your minyan patterns in your family. It pays to spend an extra 20, 25 minutes to walk to the shul that's a little more distant than the bedroom or the living room or the basement down the block in order that your tefillah should be amidah l'fnei with the same people. Now, if it's a blizzard, whatever. Of course not. If there's a tsunami or a batari, you have to walk 25 and get there with your, you know, with your London fisherman's jacket, and you're going and getting on a boat because we don't hold the boats or us anymore. Whatever, bless your us in China. Whatever. Obviously, take everything into account. You're an older person, your father. But it pays not to just daven based on convenience. Here. And by the way, I don't even know where all this is landing because minyan patterns and shul patterns are really going to change after Corona settles in. Shuls are going to be different. The meeting is going to be different. So I can't even tell you what practical advice. I could just tell you, try to capture minyan kavua. Now here's the biggie, and you know it's coming, okay? And I'm going to beat on this again and again. One of the many reasons that we work so hard on your coming to Yeshiva Daphne. And really, it's so much easier for us just to let it roll and let it slide. We have no ulterior motive. I don't get paid by the amount of boys that come to Minyan. We don't pay a head tax if you go to the issue of Minyan. Like, it doesn't. Please, this is earnest and sincere and tested advice. Why do I keep saying if you come to Minyan, you'll have a successful year in Yeshiva? If you don't, I don't care how well you learn the Mesmer, you will not. Because Tefillah is a barometer of your Avodas Hashem and your Hashemayim. And well, I'm going to Minyan. I'm going to the 7:20 Minyan Yeshiva. I have enough time to come back for breakfast. Yeah, but that's not your place, and it's not your people. And it's really hard to feel if you stand in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And unless you tell me, Rabbi Tarragon, I have fallen in love with the Alon Shvut people. I know them all by name in the 7:20 Minyan. They've made me the gabbai. I sponsor Kiddush every Monday and Thursday. I have a seat with my name on it. If that's true, then I take back what I said. Assuming it's not true, and you just slink in, you get a seat in the back, and you put a check. Okay, so you put a check in the box. Great, your box is checked. Come on, let's be real. Those aren't your people. They're not your community. You're faceless. They're nameless. You walk in, say you're davening, say, hey, Shmir Rabbi, and you walk out. This is your place. These are your people. These are the people you're going to start to grow close with and identify with, your Rebbes, your friends. And then davening means I'm standing with my people in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. again, I'm not going to guarantee 90% success in davening, but at least some sense of encountering the Ribono Shel Olam. That's why the Gemara says that if you have a Makom Kavur, you're a Talmud of Avraham, because Avraham excelled in the tefillah of space. That was Avraham's tefillah. We'll talk about Yitzchak's tefillah next week, and Yaakov's tefillah parts of Yetzir Meretz Hashem. But for Avraham, the core of his tefillah was spatial, and space needs Makom Kavur, and that's why the Torah doesn't just say Ela Makom Asher Amad Sham, Makom Asher Amad Sham. He went back to the very same place. The day before, he was standing in a particular location, looking at stone, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the next day went back to the same place. Even though it must have been very painful for him. We'll talk about that tomorrow, maybe. It was very painful for him to go back to the same place, because all of his hopes had been dashed, and all of his tefillahs had been rebuffed. So, put all those together. Avraham's tefillah is nonverbal. The verb is amad. It's non-articulate. This is why this tefillah is showcased, because there's really nothing for him to daven for. That's why the Gemara says, if you're a Makom Kavur, you're a Talmud of Avraham Avinu, because you're working at space. Rulazo told us, Talmidim, do lefnei miyatim omdim. Work on that. It sounds crazy, but I promise you it works. Focus on, I'm standing in front of the Melech Malchei Melachim. If you want, you can imagine the Kisei HaKavod, which is a bit easier to physically imagine. Again, Hashem doesn't have any physical countenance, so we think about the Kisei HaKavod. You can think about Yusha. Just think of standing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. And I promise you everything will come from that. But you have to train yourself for a good couple of weeks or months to have that sense of Amidah Lefnei Hashem. And we'll talk about different ways to get there to Amidah Lefnei Hashem. But this is a good way to establish a goal for tefillah. Okay? Okay, let's shift.